gambling on TV and online. Some MPs are backing a Commons motion urging the government to act. In December 2018, some of the biggest gambling companies voluntarily agreed to a whistle-to-whistle television advertising ban. But is it time to step it up, remove all betting ads from TV and online, and to take them off football shirts? Betting on football, betting within football, betting on football shirts, betting in football grounds is big, big business. And there are lots of kids, of course, watching those matches. We'll debate this in a moment, but first have a listen to a caller called Lee, who's been telling me about his gambling addiction.
Well, as a recovering gambling addict, it's not exactly pleasant to see it everywhere that you turn. We had a similar story in football during the mid-90s with alcohol being the predominant peak in 96. And now we see that the alcohol's been overtaken by the gambling firms. I think the clubs need to take responsibility of this, because I don't have faith in the government being able to take responsibility for it.
There are many people that can gamble responsibly and within their own limits, and it's a bit of fun to them. But you're talking about two different categories, aren't you, in terms of the danger zone? Those people who know they've got a problem but want to watch a match, want to do whatever, and they're getting hit with this advertising, in other words, temptation, and a whole new generation of people who've never gambled before who are being pushed and prodded to have a go. Come on, have a bet when they're watching telly.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it's about prohibiting the gambling and ostracising it from our society, because I don't think that's the issue. And you don't see alcoholics coming out saying, let's ban all alcohol. That's not the issue. It's the way that it is being force-fed. And to the younger generation that is being force-fed to, young children idolise and look up to these footballers. And if they see sponsored by such betting company on Cristiano Ronaldo's shirt, they're going to worship him and say, well, if he's sponsoring it, then it must be a good thing to be going and looking up towards, which is not.
I don't think we need to waste much time wondering how powerful it is, because these gambling companies are paying millions of pounds for the sponsorship. So it must be that powerful. They wouldn't be throwing their money down the drain, would they?
Well, I don't think there's any coincidence in the heightened fees that the TV companies are paying. Where do you think the TV companies are getting their money from? It's from the sponsorship that the gambling companies are giving them.
What type of gambling affected your life? What did you get hooked on?
Initially, I was hooked on slots, but it was from anything and everything. I was betting on Indian football towards the end at 2 o'clock in the morning. I had no clue what teams were playing, who was in the lineups or anything like that. I was just hooked on making a bet, placing a bet.
Was it online gambling you were doing?
Online, definitely, yes. Previously, I would sort of flutter in the bookies, but online took it to a whole new level. 2010 onwards is when the introduction of online gambling sort of heightened, and the way that they pushed it towards the punter. Online, it sort of becomes just virtual numbers in the air. It's not even like you're withdrawing cash and placing it in the machines, in the bookmakers or anything. It all just becomes almost like monopoly money, because it doesn't become real.
It's real when you look at your bank account then, the next day, isn't it? It's not there.
Yeah, definitely. It's a real-life situation. It took me to some very dark places, which I'm glad that I'm not there now and away from the bookmakers. That's why I'm trying to do some campaigning in schools to try and educate the younger generation to the dangers of gambling, because I don't have any faith that the government are going to take any action towards it.
Shine a light into what your world was like then, when you were hooked online on those slots. So what was a typical day like?
Completely consumed by it. It just completely changes your way of thinking. To give you a prime example of when I got found out by my partner at the time, this was nearly 4 years ago, I was £5 short on my rent. Any person with normal way of thinking would phone up their estate agent and say, I'm £5 short this month. Can I pay you £5 next week? And it would have been, wouldn't have been an issue. But with the gambling sense, I needed to chase that loss. So I put £20 in and then lost £20. And this was at 12 o'clock at night. By 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd lost my entire rent money.
And how much money did you lose over the course of your addiction?
I've got around about £20,000 in actual debt. I think obviously I did have wins on that, but the wins never amounted to actually going back into my account, simply because these companies do target the compulsive gambler, and they've got something called a cancel withdrawal function, which, in my opinion, is only targeted towards the compulsive gambler, simply because if anyone who's got a normal way of thinking with this, if they've made the conscious decision to withdraw, say, £5,000, £10,000 because they've just won it on a bet or on the slots, then they're happy to wait 2 or 3 days for that to go into their account, and they're not going to go splurging £5,000 on these betting sites, whereas me, myself as a compulsive gambler, I used that option many a time because I couldn't wait for the money to go back into my account because I needed to continue gambling.
So basically, in that cancel function, what happened was, let's say you won a £5,000 jackpot, and yeah, there it is, and you hit the withdrawal button, and then they put a little pop-up on the screen, and they say, right, look, you can cancel that. That's just going to sit there in our system for the next 48 hours, and you can cancel that withdrawal at any time, and it'll go instantly back into your account so you can gamble again. So then you've
so
got
you
all of these...
straight away with it.
Yeah. Yep. And then you've got all of these feelings inside you where you're thinking, I know I'm going to lose that, but the adrenaline and the dopamine's flowing, and you give in. And all of a sudden, a few hours later, you've lost it.
No, that's the insanity of it. I never cancelled withdrawal thinking I'm going to lose this £5,000. The gambling head on me never thought that until I had £0, 0 pence in my account. I always thought I've won £5,000 off, say, a £100 bet. I can win £50,000 off this £5,000. The gambler will always, it doesn't matter, irrespective of the figures, you hear of ex-footballers spending tens of hundreds of thousands of pounds getting themselves multi-millionaires and then getting themselves bankrupt because they've got themselves into gambling debt. I attend Gamblers Anonymous, and we don't talk about the actual figures simply because it's not about the figures. It's about the feeling and the consumption that it does take you.
Well, the commentators Fionnuala Meredith and Luke Gitos listening to that. Morning, Fionnuala.
Morning, Sue.
Good morning. Good morning, Luke.
Morning.
Good morning, good morning. What do you think, Luke?
Well, I think gambling is an incredibly complex social problem. You know, if you look at the latest comprehensive research on the causes, they point to difficulties in upbringing, difficulties in your peer group, so being associated with a peer group that is conducive to abusive or addictive behaviours, difficulties in education, poor social support, and obviously poverty plays a huge role. You know, there are a huge network of explanatory causes for becoming involved in addictive behaviour, of which gambling is just one. So I think the calls to cancel the to ban gambling advertising is completely wrong-headed. It completely ignores the fact that this is about a complex network of social causes that we really need to be talking about, rather than merely focusing on censorship. It's worth remembering that, you know, betting shops have been for decades some of the biggest retailers on our high streets. So it won't come as a surprise to people that, you know, Ladbrokes and William Hill have sat alongside Tesco's as an absolute figure point of our high streets for, you know, many decades, long preceding the time when they had enormous money spent on adverts. You know, this is a problem that's been around for a long time. And it's also worth remembering that the vast majority of people gamble safely and gamble responsibly, and people should be trusted to be able to experience, you know, gambling advertising without assuming that everyone is on a slippery slope to addictive behaviour, because there's no evidence that that's true.
Fionnuala?
Well, we're not talking about banning gambling. Of course, people should be free to gamble, just as they should be free to smoke or do whatever they want to do within the law. But what seems incredible to me is the way in recent years gambling ads just seem to have want football, right? I should say, I am not a football fan, but I'm married to one who certainly is. So, like, Sky Sports News is like a constant soundtrack to my life. It's always seems to be on. And what I'm very aware of is that the majority of ads on live football are for gambling. I mean, just people watching seem to be bombarded with them. 20 years ago, maybe you would go to the bookies to lay a bet. Now it's just a touch of a phone. You can bet on virtually anything, especially when it comes to sport. And also you think of like kids with smartphones, even if they can't actually gamble. But this whole, it makes them think, the way that it's run now, it makes them think that gambling is an essential part of sport, that sport isn't really sport unless you have money on it. Look at that old Sky Bet ad. It matters more when there's money in it. So I think there's something really insidious going on here. And I do think it preys on the most vulnerable, not people who just want to have the odd bet, the people who are getting really addicted. So why not get rid of the ads? Like, I'm not into banning things normally, but I think in this case there's great arguments for it.
Well, I think that no one's calling for banning gambling. We're talking about gambling advertising. And I think,
yeah, exactly.
So gambling advertising, I think, is a very, very small part of the reason why people gamble. I don't think it's the reason why people become involved in gambling. I think that has a deeper social set of causes behind it.
Yes, agreed. But I think if they get deeper into it, if they're constantly bombarded.
Yeah, well, they might be constantly bombarded, but there's no evidence to show that exacerbates the existing behaviour. Look, I think there is this impulse in society to reach for censorship when we don't want to engage in the more difficult questions that these problems pose. You know, it's an easy response to say, well, get rid of the adverts and you'll get rid of the problem. I'm afraid that...
I don't think anyone's saying that.
Well, that's what people who want to ban... So what's the rationale for banning the adverts?
Yeah, well, it's not as simplistic as that, but if it could help people not get utterly sucked in to this vortex of gambling addiction. You know what? It's the more I have looked into this, the more I think it is incredibly insidious. There's something called VIP schemes, which I hadn't previously known about, in which gambling companies target the people who lose the most money and offer them rewards. So it was recently reported that several so-called VIPs, they've had this conferred on them, or ordinary punters, but who have lost money. They told a newspaper that they were frequently offered football tickets in exchange for their custom. And on one occasion, Ladbrokes agreed to pay for business class return flights from Dubai to London worth more than £2,000 just so that a client could attend the North London Derby between Arsenal and Tottenham. That person turned out to be a problem gambler whose betting was £1 million that he'd stolen from clients. Right, you might say that's an extreme example, but I think it's an example of how the betting industry, the gambling industry, has got a very deep hold on football fans and sports fans.
Well, I think we're aligning two things now, aren't we? We're not, you know, for people who gamble such enormous amounts of money that the gambling companies are willing to pay for their flights, these are not the usual individuals that we're talking about. We're normally talking about people who spend all of their salary and find themselves in very big difficulties because of their gambling addiction. I think we should be focusing on them rather than reaching to the multimillionaires who get flown by the world, around the world by Ladbrokes.
It's the people who lose the most money. It's the people
But they have to have enough money to lose in order to make that sort of thing worthwhile. So,
all right.
I think what we need to do is focus on the deeper social issues that are behind this problem, not the immediate censorship.
Let's leave it there. Luke and Fionnuala, thank you very much indeed. We're heading to the 10 o'clock news. Brian's next in Belfast. Morning, Brian.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
That's about, right, okay, I'll tell you what it's about, Stephen.
Yes.
It's about the calendars. You can't ask them why people don't want them. I have tried to get one for 3 weeks now and nothing has come over the door.
Well, we need to call in the PSNI to this because we couldn't give...
The PSNI will be involved, doesn't it?
Yes, we couldn't give those calendars away. Nobody wants them. Nobody wanted them.
Do you know why?
And Vinny's telling...
Don't send them out, Stephen.
No, but Vinny's telling me there are none left. But nobody wanted the bloody things.
Well, Stephen, listen, you have to get a
so
new
where have they gone? Someone's stolen them. He's clearly sold them on the internet.
Okay, right.
But we've got a pink flamingo, Bram. Would you like a pink flamingo?
Pink flamingo and the calendar, Stephen, okay?
Finny, where are the calendars? We thought nobody wanted them. He's huffing. We caught him picking his nose there, actually. Brian, we'll send you out a pink flamingo.
Okay, Stephen, okay. Listen, you take care, son, okay?
Bye-bye.